Then. All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Wolf Creek Infrastructure Financing District. Today's November 4th, 2025. It's 11:40 a.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for our call to order, if everyone could state their name for the recording and record, we'd appreciate it. So we'll start with the board. John, your chair, would you like to start?
Yeah, John Lewis, Huntsville, Utah.
Shane Dunleavy, Huntsville, Utah.
Jeff Reese, Cache Valley.
Hi.
Matt Entz with Snow Jensen and Reese District Council.
Brendan Campbell, Pinnacle Consulting District Accountant.
All right, that's everyone I show on the call. We do have Christy Barker at the anchor location. Christy, do we have any members of the public there?
No.
Okay. Board, first up, board meeting minutes from our July 29th meeting. Have you guys had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate?
Yeah, I've reviewed them. They look accurate to me.
Okay. Shane, could I get a motion then?
I'll make a motion to accept the prior board meeting minutes. What date was that?
July
July
29th. July
29th. Yeah,
29.
July 29th minutes.
I'll second
Perfect.
that.
Thanks, Jeff. All those in favor say aye.
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 That is unanimous. All right, next up, third quarter financials and 26 tentative budget. So I'm going to turn it over to Brendan to cover both.
All right. Are you able to see my screen with capital
Yep.
projects
Yes.
fund showing?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So do you so Michael, do you want me to just cover the third quarter pause, do that acceptance, and then do 2026, or do you want me to just run through everything and we'll kind of handle the motions separately?
You can do it however you feel comfortable. I'll just take two separate motions. So if you want to cover them together, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, it might be easier if we just flow through each fund and what's
Yep,
happening. So,
I agree.
all right. Capital Projects Fund. So, this is financial statements through third quarter through September 30th, 2025. And those are really the first three columns on the left to right. But then the far right hand column, we have our 2026 tentative budget. And so, really, it's looking at where are we at year to date today, and then what are we expecting next year? So looking at the Capital Projects Fund, focusing on the actual through September 30th, I'll start on the other sources and uses section. You can see that we're generally within budget with these non-existent or minor variances. The bonds issued were $69.4 million. Cost of issuance was $1,780,000. Now you'll note that there is $57,000 unspent in that category. That was a contingency. The contingency amount will just roll over into the project fund because there's no need for those monies to be used for cost of issuance at this point in time. In addition to that, there was a $153,000 set aside at closing for administrative costs that you'll see up in the general fund, and then $18.7 million that was transferred to the debt service fund, which is your capitalized interest and a required reserve, which we'll look at here shortly.
Hey, Brendan, on the
Yes.
cost of issuance, is that, did you say it's still in there as cost of issuance?
Is still sitting in the cost of issuance fund. At this
Okay.
point, it's appropriate for that to get swept over to the
I was
project
just
fund.
gonna say, if you wouldn't
Yeah.
mind talking to Zions about that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, guys, how is working with Zions? Is that working out well?
Yeah, so far.
Good.
Yeah, very easy to work with. They're great.
Yeah, good. Everything with Weber County good as well.
Yeah, we recorded Osprey Ranch Phase 2 utilizing the letters that Zions provided.
Perfect.
Yep.
That's okay.
That's great. All right. Back to those financials. That net other sources and uses, $48 million, basically the bond issuance less those required usages. That's essentially what's in your project fund, or was in your project fund. Now, going up to the top of the financials, you can see that there's some interest income. These funds that are on hand are accruing interest. So there have been through September 30th, $536,000 of interest income that again goes into that project fund and is available. capital outlay or all project requisitions that were paid through September 30th totaled $21,817. So that nets out as of September 30th remaining here at the bottom ending fund balance of $27,483. So that's as of September 30th, what's remaining to be available, what's remaining and available to be spent. Now, looking at
You
2026,
mean 27 million, right?
27 million, yeah.
oh, what did I say? My
You
apologies.
said
Thousand.
thousand.
Yeah,
27
27
thousand.
million. Well, I
Yeah, they're
mean,
thinking 27 million's just gone.
what's 27 million amongst friends, right? No.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, thank you. 27.483 million. Yes. Now, understanding that through the end of the year, there will be additional draws. There already have been since September 30th. But what I set aside or what I did for the 2026 budget, and we can change this, the tentative budget is just that. It is tentative. This isn't a final adoption, so we can make changes. But what I did is essentially took that money plus some anticipated accrued interest and just re-budgeted for that in 2026, meaning any money that you have as of September 30th, we're reallocating or rebudgeting in 2026 to just have that appropriations available. We won't know exactly what that carryover is going to be. We could tighten it up between now and the final budget potentially. But at the end of the day, when we're adopting a budget, you're kind of setting a not to exceed number. You just want to make sure that the number we adopt is at or above our actual expenditures. And it is safe to say that as of today, based on September 30th financials, we will spend no more than what we have in the bank as of September 30th. And so that's why I put that 27.9 million as a placeholder budget for capital outlay. But again, we can tighten that up if you're not comfortable having that number carry forward since it's based off September 30th numbers. Then moving up to the debt service fund. So we'll start back here at the other sources and uses at the middle again. $18.7 million were transferred to the debt service fund. Those are made up of two components. They're really down here at the bottom. You can see this components of ending fund balance. There's a capitalized interest component and a debt service reserve component. Capitalized interest is to cover your interest payments for the first 3 years. The debt service reserve is just a required reserve with the bond documents. Ultimately, those funds have to be used to repay the bonds, and they'll be part of that repayment. But that is required, and we do have that set aside. Now, of that 18.7 that was transferred in to the debt service fund, it is also accruing interest, or earning interest, I should say. And so there is an interest income line item. We have $285,000 through September 30th earned on those monies. There was a bond payment on June 1st, a partial interest payment of $654,000 that you can see here under expenses. And then we will have a December 1st payment yet that we will make, and that will get us to the budgeted amount for 2025 of $2.6 million for interest payments. Now, for these bonds, they do have an annual interest payment, as I mentioned, but you've already set aside that capitalized interest money. So what you'll see in the 2026 budget is the $3.992 million of interest payments in June and December of next year. And those will be funded from this capitalized interest. So you'll see that capitalized interest number start to tick down. So you saw that it was originally a larger number. 2026, it'll go smaller, and each year for the first few years, it decreased down to zero. The assessments for Wolf Creek aren't set to be required. Maybe that's not the right word. The scheduled required assessment collection will begin in 2028. Now, if there's any other sales or things that happen in the interim, there may be some additional assessments that are paid. But in terms of scheduled payments, those scheduled payments begin in 2028. So I don't have any assessment revenue built into this. So if you start having those homes that go to the market get those certificate of occupancies, then we'll have those assessments collected and we'll have to amend the budget for those items. But we don't have those built into the budget for 2026. And then moving up to the general fund. As I mentioned, at the bond closing, there was $153,000 set aside for administrative costs. The idea was that that would fund roughly 3 years of administrative costs. There is interest earning on those monies as well. $2,383 of interest earned to date through September 30th. And then in terms of expenditures, through September 30th, a total of $27,587, and have no concern at this point that we would exceed that $50,000 placeholder budget that we had originally adopted for the district for 2025. And in terms of the budget for next year, the bond indenture does allow for an incremental increase of the administrative costs each year. So you can see we adopted a $50,000 amount in 2025. It goes up to $51,000 in 2026. And so put in some placeholder budgets that equal that allowable or that allowed set aside of 51,000 when we do continue to have money in the bank. So assuming we will have some interest income in 2026 of roughly $4,000 based on anticipated balance carry forwards. And that would leave 2026 year end ending at about $68,000 that would be able to carry forward and take care of 2027 administrative costs as well. All right, so ran through all the funds, touched on 2025 and what we're proposing as a 2026 budget. Any comments, any questions, thoughts?
Nope.
Or just so you guys know, on that interest line item, why we went a little over was the way they decided to do the treasurer's bonds. They did them and went out a couple years. So that's why it's at 57 instead of the 4275, just so you know. So we should have a reduction in the next couple years. We'll work with Brendan about that. And then long term, they just changed where we're going to do a crime policy. Right now, the treasurer's bond is specifically that, say, Candace were to, do something wrong with the money, the district's covered. That's what the treasurer's bond would be. Moving forward, as soon as those treasurer's bonds roll off, I'll get with Christy on timing, but they'll do the crime policy. That's for everybody on the board. And also helps with outside issues. And so that's based on your budget. So that number will change every year as you guys spend the money and it goes down, as well as the debt service fund. But I just wanted you to know that's why we're high this year, was just those treasurer's bonds.
I did have one question. I was just curious what the cost was to change trustees.
Nothing as far as those two go. I mean, my time and Matt's time would have been included, but outside of that, there wasn't anything as far as trustees go.
Okay, good.
Shane, if you would like to us to give you an accounting of how much time we spent on it, we could do that.
No, I don't think that's necessary. I just was curious if there were any other fees that we weren't aware of when that occurred.
Okay. No,
UMB
you
took
guys have
something.
started a, how do we call it, Matt? UMB starting to send emails to other districts saying, hey, if you're upset, let us know and give us a chance. If there's performance guarantees that you guys need, we'll work with you guys and we'll try to come up with a letter, because Matt and I wouldn't send them the letter.
Right.
So it's been interesting. You guys started a wave.
Well, we're good at being
Story of
first.
your life.
Yeah.
Tip of the spear.
We've got three or four other districts that are in process now,
Oh,
and they
wow.
don't like it.
Wow. Crazy.
Anyway, so Brendan, what else do you have for us?
That is what I have.
Okay. So, board, any questions about either the financial statements that he showed or the tentative budget?
Nope,
No.
mine are all
Nope.
answered.
Okay, perfect. So here's what I'll need then. I need a motion to accept the third quarter financials as presented, and then I'll need a motion to approve the tentative 26 budget and set a public hearing date for December 2nd. So two separate motions.
Sounds good. Well, I'll make a motion to accept the third quarter 2025 financial statements as presented.
Thanks, Shane.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Jeff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Okay, Shane.
And then I'll make a motion to accept the tentative 2026 budget as presented.
And can you add to have a public hearing on December 2nd?
And we will add a public hearing on December 2nd, 2025.
Great. Thanks, Shane.
Need a
I'll
second.
second.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 That is unanimous. All right, that's everything I show on the agenda. Do you guys have anything for us?
I do. I just wanted to have a brief discussion on the potential sale of one of our projects that we are not going to move forward with. And we've exchanged some emails. That would be the Osprey Canyon project, which is 30.96 acres, and we're looking at selling off 21.75 acres. The question I have is more the mechanics of keeping the assessment in place until the COO, but turning or assigning the responsibility of that assessment to the purchaser. How do we actually do that? What does that look like?
So there's actually nothing that you necessarily have to do because the assessment is a lien on the property. And
Got it.
so when they take title to the property, they will take subject to that lien, and it's prior to any other liens other than property taxes. So the title come are you using a title company?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they may have some things that they want them to sign, as far as acknowledging, that the lien is still in place and whatnot. And if there's any questions from them about the details of the lien, we'd be happy to help with that. But I don't think there's anything special you need to do, Shane.
Okay. That was my question. Good.
Yeah. Yep.
One thing we do need to think about. Remember, there was some property that was in the district that shouldn't have been, and we need
Oh,
to get
yeah.
that. Weber County's going to make us go through a withdrawal.
Whoa.
I know. So, was it wasn't it like the fire district or some district, or was it an private individual?
It's a private individual. That's actually the individual we got the land from.
So, would they be willing to sign the petition to withdraw?
Yeah, but he's going to lose his mind. He still doesn't know that he was included.
Well, sorry, that's what Weber County's making us do.
Okay. Even though the legal description is correct.
Yep.
Wow. All right.
We explored with them the possibility of just going through the lieutenant governor's office directly and not going through a full withdrawal process, and they've just said no, we want to see a full withdrawal. So in the statutes, there's no way around. In order to withdraw property from the district, we have to have the property owner's signature.
Okay. Well, as long as we're doing this, can we just put all our properties in and withdraw them from the incorporation at the same time?
Would be nice.
Yeah.
Yes. That would be.
All right. Can you prepare that petition for us, and then I'll get his signature and let him down slowly, easily.
Could you help us understand the or get us the legal description for that particular property, just so we know, so we can describe it correctly? But yeah, the petition itself is not complicated. It's like 2 pages.
Okay. All right. I'll get
And
to that.
And remember, Jet or Shane, it's just for that property,
Right.
his property.
Just for his property, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like 10 acres.
Yep.
Okay. We'll take care of it.
Okay.
And then
Sorry, just
18.
being the bearer of bad news.
That's all right. It's not the worst
Hey,
news we've
Matt.
had.
Matt and Michael, I do have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
We're about to launch in next year into the back half of the golf course, and a lot more of it is the main lines and some bigger parts that I feel are pertaining more to the sewer, the treated sewer distribution system. So, I guess I'm wondering if I can use a higher percentage of the work towards that versus, for public good. How
Yeah.
much of the back half? We've been doing it at 50%, I believe, in the front, but in the back, it's more like 75%. Is
My
there some kind of procedure I need to go through to prove that, or how do I go about requesting that or asking for that?
So the key on questions like this, in my view, is that the engineer's certification. If the professional engineer that's certifying the requisition requests is comfortable with that split between private and public cost, and they're willing to certify to it, then I there's no question for me. I mean, that's where I come to, is it's really an engineering question.
Yeah, it's just such a great question. Like, well, I can see a 12-inch pipe, and how do I quantify how much of that was for public? Every bit of it was used to distribute the water that was coming out of the sewer plant.
Yeah.
But at other times of the day, water went through that went into sprinklers. So it's kind of arbitrary to say, well, we'll just base it on gallons used, or why can't he just arbitrarily say, well, it's if it's not there, I can't distribute this at all. So I'm going to give that, 70%. Or
Yeah.
who's going to be the person who eventually goes, well, I don't think 75 is correct. I think it should have been 50.
Yeah. I think what we want to do is we want to just have some reasonable basis so that if somewhere down the line somebody says, and I don't know who that would be, maybe it's a future board, maybe it's a future property owner that, decides to make trouble. Somewhere down the line somebody says, "Why did you do it this way?" We just need a why, And if we have a why with a professional engineer that says, "This is the why," and it's engineering based, that's going to be pretty solid, as long as it's reasonable and rational. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know. There's any other way to look at it, right? Because, from a legal perspective, all I can tell you is, yeah, it looks like a shared piece of infrastructure. But I can't, from a legal perspective, say, well, it should be this much and that much. That's where we have to defer to the engineers. It's a similar idea of, when you're doing, let's say you're doing, mass grading for your project, and you want reimbursement for a portion of that mass grading for the public roads that you're dedicating. I mean, it's a similar idea. The engineer is going to have to sit down and come to some reasonable basis for saying, well, this portion was for the public infrastructure and this portion was for the private improvements. And we just have to rely on that.
So, if you guys are afraid politically there might be an issue, I would say huddle, talk amongst yourselves on whether or not you want your project engineer to be the one, or if you want a third party engineer to be the one to say, what Matt's talking about. Oh, yeah, it's the right way to split it all out and those things. So, I mean,
That's
that's just a political question if you're worried about it for the future. But if your project engineer is willing to say, yep, those are the right splits, I agree with Matt.
Yeah, I think chances are, as long as the engineer comes up with some kind of a rational way to look at it, I doubt it'll ever be challenged. But we just need
Okay,
some.
thanks, guys.
Yep.
Okay, anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
I think
You
I'm good.
I'm good.
all right?
Oh,
Thanks,
hey,
guys.
I did have one other quick question. Sorry.
Yep.
C of O triggers the payment of the assessment. What is the timeline on that happening? Because sometimes we may not close, yet we get the C of O. So just trying to think that through in my mind.
Yeah, we'd want to pull up that language in the assessment
Subordinate.
ordinance, because that's what governs timing. So what if I do this, Shane? What if I get the board an email that just says this is what it says?
Okay.
Will that work okay? That way
Yeah,
I
that'll
don't.
work okay. I just want to plan as we start bringing stuff to market, knowing what that's going to look like, if there's going to be a gap there, how we bridge that, things like that. So.
Yeah. And it what it may well I'll get you the specifics. I mean, the reason I'm hesitant to say it says this is because, frankly, I've looked at a lot of these lately and they all are.
Yeah.
I don't want to say something that turns out to be wrong, but I'll look at it right after the call and I'll get you an email.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. So before we go, I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. I
Thanks.
second.
Thanks, Shane. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Unanimous. Okay. See you guys.